Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
It's a Victorious Football Friday. Thanks for hanging out with us. 803-0550. We are taking your calls all morning long and basking in the glory of yet another beating of the New England Patriots. Sal's joining us on the Western Hotline, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal's is covering Bills wins in Foxborough on a regular basis. Good morning, Sal.
Hi, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Good. I was thinking about your arrow ups, arrow downs as the game ended, figuring this might have been the most ups since Pittsburgh. I mean, Sal, it's kind of a game where there's not a lot that people would be upset about. It was a nice, easy, breezy W.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Jeremy. And a couple things about that. Number one, a lot of arrows up. I'll get to that in a second. The arrows down were tough last night. There were a couple. I threw some in there. I mean, I didn't think there was anything like noteworthy to say, oh, my God, that was so bad. Had to kind of think about a few things that went on. I was taking notes during the game on that and then referred back to it. But a little secret, though. It was a late night. We're on the bus. We're on the plane. I'm trying to get everything published before I get back home here. You know, internet, all that kind of stuff. So I might have been able to get a couple more arrows up, but I think gave quite a bit. But I was trying to get everything in as quickly as possible. But you're right. And a great way to describe it that you just said. Like, I just never thought there was any stress last night. I mean, there was the one touchdown after that by the Patriots. After that, the Bills came back. I just thought the Bills were in control the whole game. And even if it wasn't like that on the scoreboard for a little while early on, I thought that was, like, I guess, would you say, like a workmanlike win. They just went out. They did their business. There was really no threat from the Patriots most of the night.
I want to start in no particular order, Sal. We're going to get to calls in a moment. Let's start with Josh. You know, we always like to do Eye on the Quarterback with you. It is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Our business is protecting your business. Just evaluate his overall performance, because I thought smart, efficient, clutch throws. I mean, just ran the offense, seemed in control in the, all night running the offense. Red zone touchdowns. Everything seemed to go. The Josh Allen wow play on the touchdown to Gabe Davis. I thought he really had a strong game last night.
Yeah, I used those same words when I wrote about it, smart and efficient. I thought Josh played that kind of game. He made the big plays when needed, and a lot of them weren't needed necessarily. I give Ken Dorsey a lot of credit for last night. He called what Eric Wood said on the radio. I like the way he described it, an offensive line friendly game plan. He said he just made it easy on those guys, that they didn't have to do too much. they really kept themselves in good positions all night. You know, they were getting yards on first down. What's the old saying? Don't get behind the chains on third down. And I think the Bills did that really well last night. And Josh was a big reason why. There were a few times where a couple guys dropped passes. That was actually an arrow down, and that would have helped Josh a little bit. So I don't know what the reaction's been this morning necessarily on your show, and it sounds like it's good that, you know, I was wondering, would people go and like look at Josh's numbers and go, oh, I can't believe it. Come on, here we go again. What's wrong with the offense? Only 233. Listen, that was by design. The Bills didn't care. I think the Bills would have cared last night if Josh Allen threw for 80 yards. This was just the kind of game where it's like, we're going to New England. We're going to do what we have to do. We're going to get out of here. We're going to have 11 days off. Let's just get this dub, and they did it.
Yeah, and from a big picture standpoint, Sal, I was thinking about that because somebody brought it up in the postgame. One of the questions in the postgame interviews last night, 3 wins in 12 days. That's hard to do, let alone, you know, I don't care about the opponents. I don't care about winning team, losing team. 3 wins in 12 days. None of them are at home. A snowstorm, a transferred game, you know, injuries, illnesses. Some days where you had limited, you couldn't practice team drills. The quarterback was limited for some of those practices. I mean, that's really, that's an amazing accomplishment to go 3-0 in that stretch.
I don't think people really realize what this team went through the last 12 days to be able to get these wins. Now, I'm more on the front lines, if you will, kind of being a part of it, traveling with them, kind of seeing it up close in person. I'm not in the building during, you know, when they're going through all their meetings and stuff like that. I do get to watch some practices. But I've kind of, you know, experienced this a little bit as this gone on. And I will tell you, I don't even play, and it's like been an upheaval in my life, like in everybody, all the staff. I'm not trying to make it about me when I say that. I'm just trying to give a perspective of like, I'm telling you guys, like it was rough and a grind over the last 12 days. And in the locker room yesterday, and you guys can hear the sound that you know is from post game that we have up at WGR550.com. I made it a point to pretty much ask every player, what was the last 12 days like, and how much are you looking forward to the next 11? And I'm telling you, their answers and the facial expressions they gave really spoke volumes. It wasn't like, yeah, it'll be nice. It was like, wow, yeah, we really need this. Like, I need this. I'm so looking forward to it. The relief on their faces to go on the road 3 times in 12 days amid a snowstorm and trying to get out of your hometown and to where you're supposed to go and then back and have limited practice time and all these injuries, including to your quarterback who was limited, your star pass rusher, your franchise left tackle, and to win these 3 games. I mean, I just think that the story of the last 3 weeks, that's it. It should not be the sputtering offense or anything about like necessarily even how they played. It's the fact that they won these games.
Before we get to calls, I teased this, Sal. I want to ask you about one of your tweets from last night. Observation from the Bills sideline. It stood out to me that there was almost like a mean energy in a good way. I could tell this game meant a lot to them as a team. There was a different kind of edge to the group, and they played very physical. If you could talk a little bit about that.
It started for me pregame. I happened to be walking out to the field as a lot of players were walking in from their pregame warmups. And I just heard more like talking amongst each other and like getting ready. And some of the things they were saying about, you know, let's go, let's do this, let's get after him, like that kind of thing. Like you could, I felt it right away. I heard it right away. And I'm like, okay, like, you know, these guys are getting pretty locked in right now. And then when I was on the field, there was an edge. The guys were locked in and dialed in and really getting after it all night. And again, I want to call it like a mean energy, but like in a good sports way, in a good football physical way. They were dialed in and ready to be physical last night. And I think they just wanted to prove to the Patriots, prove to themselves, prove to everybody that they're still the Buffalo Bills and this is their division. And this game meant a lot. They know they can't go 0-3 in the division. That was said all week. I think that was a big part of it. But it's also this team. It's also the Patriots. It's also what they represent. And there's enough guys here to know what that means to this fan base and know what it means to this organization. But I really like, you know what? It reminded me, do you guys remember? I said the same thing last year after they beat Kansas City on that Sunday night game last year. And I remember saying the same thing I'm saying to you now, which is, like, there was just an energy and a purpose that they were just really getting after it physically, and it was like an old-school type of feel on a football sideline.
Sal with us here, 803-0550. Let's get connected with our fans. We'll go to the Falls. Dan, you're on with Sal here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Sal, you're the best. Quick question for you. You know, a couple weeks ago we saw Diggs getting in, talking to Coach about looked like he was frustrated, not getting the ball enough. A few plays later, he scores a touchdown. I'm a little nervous with hearing the Voncast that he said he's going to be back before the Jets game, and now he's on the IR. I'm just wondering how you talk real positive about Von. I wonder if that's going to be an attitude thing, if we expect to see him on the sidelines. I know Deion said that it's just huge to have him in the room, so I'm wondering if this is a negative at all.
You mean, is he going to be on the sidelines like while he's out, basically? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, you know, he he's going to be back for the Jets, and obviously that's not happening. I just want to make sure his head's in the right spot. So thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, I'm sure the Bills had discussions with Von Miller before, you know, they made this move and to kind of go through everything with him. Von's a very cerebral person. I think he understands the big picture. And, you know, there's a guy who talks about he's going to be a GM someday, right? I think he understands what an organization has to do. At the same time, you know, to me, in my opinion, I'm sure he's disappointed he's not playing. He wants to play. He said he could be back for the Jets. But Brandon Bean did say last night in the pool report that we all had that, you know, you could find at WGR550.com. He said, and by the way, so people know what a pool report is, there's a pool reporter that can get an interview with somebody, and then that gets distributed to everybody to be able to use for the quotes. It's not like a one-on-one exclusive. So that's what it means when you hear that. So Brandon Bean spoke with the pool reporter. I believe it's Mark Gaughan of the Buffalo News in this case. And he said, you know, this was the best thing to do right now for the timing. They didn't want to rush him back. And let's just play this out. If Von Miller had played last night, I'm sorry, if they didn't put Von Miller on IR last night, yesterday, and he doesn't play, and then they get to next week, and for some reason he still can't play, he's not quite ready, well, now you're like, okay, he's already missed two games, and if you decide then you don't want to rush him back, you can't retroactive, you know, make it for the four games. So last night's game counts. He has to miss four games. Last night's game counts. If they didn't do this, there would have been a chance where he would still miss time, and then suddenly you couldn't count last night's game, and he's missing more time.
803-0550 to join us, by the way. Without Von Miller, Von Miller, saw the stat, ESPN.com, Elena Getzenberg's article, Sal. Mac Jones was pressured on 39.5% of his dropbacks, second highest rate of his career. Without Von Miller, they still got pressure on 39.5% of the dropbacks. Let's go to Clay in Buffalo next. You're on with Sal. Go right ahead, Clay.
Hey, man, two quick points and one question. You hit it on the Mac Jones point. The pressures. And also, the personnel is why I don't think they can get the ball down the field. I don't think it's the fact that he can't throw. I just think that the personnel that they have exhibits, hey, we have to think and dunk and run the ball. Also, on the James Cook point, like you said earlier, prior to last night's game, he most time he had was, I think, about 16 snaps. Out of those 16 snaps, he ran the ball 11 times. He had one pass catch and drop one. So it's a predictability where when he's on the field, the teams know what we're going to do. We have to have him on the field more so he can blossom and become that. I give him a Chris Johnson. I think his ceiling can be prime Chris Johnson. My buddy was saying Todd Gurley, but I don't think he's as big. I think Chris Johnson, explosiveness, I think that's his ceiling. If you can get a season or two of prime Chris Johnson, I'll take it. My one question was, what do you guys think about, hey, this is the first time the Prince touched American soil in about 7 years. And instead of going to a prime time Thursday night Patriots game, he went to a lowly Wednesday
night. He went to the
Celtics game. You know, you had JD there. Yeah. That showed you how bad the Patriots have fallen. If you had Tom Brady here, it's no question. Prince would have been here and got all the media coverage that he wanted. Yeah. It's just gross.
All right, appreciate it. That's funny. James Cook had, what, his best game? I mean, 20 touches, 105 yards. He, you know, and I was saying to Jeremy, we know, you know, they brought him in here to be a weapon in the passing game, and he was good. But he is also very elusive as a running back, Sal.
James Cook looked super confident last night. Yep. He's growing in confidence. You could see that the last few games. Maybe not the Detroit game as much, but Cleveland. You go back a few games, it's starting to click a little bit there. You can see the vision. Boy, you know, last night, that 38-yard run, whatever it was, it reminded me of watching him at training camp. Remember, we'd talk a lot about how he cuts so quickly and, yeah. You know, he can kind of make a move as he's going full speed. He reminded me of that last night.
So
yeah, I think you got to get him on the field more often for sure. And, you know, I don't think that speaks anything about Devin Singletary, who wasn't great last night, but he's still a main part of this offense. But I'd like to see more James Cook.
When you go back and watch the broadcast, Sal, you'll see, and you might have seen it from field level, the safety had Cook lined up. And like you said, he makes a little cut, and the safety doesn't touch him. He just runs right past him. And there's another play. It's, he had six catches for not that many yards. But there's another play, if anybody goes
six
back.
Six for 41.
Okay. You go back to watch it. It might have been like a 5-yard gain. It's a very unimpressive gain from a pass play to Cook, but the way that he plucks the ball out of the air, it was just a pass catcher's catch. And like you're talking about, whether it's the confidence and the caller, I'm watching last night's game, and I'm also, my mind's going to next year and Cook's career and what he can be, because what they've drafted him to become, it looks like things are on the way, and that's exciting.
Yeah, and you know, I think a big part of this is, you know, people always talk about, well, I've seen a lot of, well, they bring him along slower. This, like, no, this is like, if the guy is going to show up and be great right away, he's going to be on the field. And how many times, guys, did we talk about the first few weeks, Jeremy? Remember we would talk and debate about what James Cook, and you know, to me, like that, he's taking ownership of his career now. I think, you know, you're starting to see the confidence and grow. And I think early in the year, we all loved the idea of James Cook, which the idea was what we're seeing now, right? I think the idea was this is what he could be. He just wasn't that for some reason. And maybe he wasn't getting opportunity, and we debated whether the opportunity should come or he should earn it or whatever. I think all of that's happening now, and we're seeing it happen in real time before our eyes. Because the opposite is true, apparently, with Kyrie Elam. Kyrie Elam was a healthy scratch last night. He's a first-round pick who was playing and starting, and they're still like they need numbers at corner, and he still didn't start last. He wasn't even active last night. So, like, but that doesn't mean it's an indictment on the rest of his career. You know, I mean, Kyrie Elam could still be great, but last night was, I think, indicative of where one rookie has gone through this whole season and long season so far, and where another rookie has gone. And this happens sometimes throughout a year. You have ebbs and flows, and you know, I'm hoping Kyrie Elam obviously can kind of regain his confidence and come back. I think he's a very confident young man, and do kind of be where James Cook is right now, because I think James Cook is looking really good. I do want to touch on the point that the caller made for a second. Really good point about the Patriots, and I think he was talking about the Patriots driving the ball downfield, or was he talking about the Bills?
I thought it was about either way,
he might have been talking about the Patriots. I don't know if you guys saw the quote from after the game. The Patriots game plan, basically, and what they wanted to do to the Bills. And I'm like, I'm scratching my head here, all right? This is, to me, we could talk about genius Bill Belichick or their coaching staff or whatever. It didn't make any sense to me. The quote was, Evan Lazar tweeted it out. He said, Mac Jones said the Patriots game plan was to run more quick concepts to force the Bills' defense to tackle their skill players. Buffalo's defense has struggled tackling this season, so the Pats wanted to expose it. All right, let me just tell you something. That's fine if you're relying on everyone. Like, it's fine if you notice that. It's really good. It's really good that you notice that the Bills might have struggled at tackling. To rely on a game plan where you're going to rely on missed tackles. And, by the way, what skill players versus Bills skill players? The Patriots literally thought, this quote tells me, the Patriots do not even know who they are, because they do not have anything close to the skill players and athleticism the Bills have. And their game plan was get the ball to our less skilled players than versus them to force them to miss tackles, and that's how we're going to win. I think that is a total indictment and ridiculous on their own game plan.
Before you get to the next call, I wanted to bring up something about the defense, Al, and I wanted to ask you about Tremaine Edmonds, because – wow, he just makes – used to be we would talk about, you know, Matt Milano. When Matt Milano doesn't play, you notice it. He makes such a difference when he's on the field for the overall performance of the defense. Well, Edmonds is that guy now, Sal, and he's having his best season. When he comes back, and you noticed it again last night, you know, he hit the gaps on some run plays and stuffed runs. We know what he can do in coverage. I think they might have blitzed him a little bit. He is now the difference maker in that defense, or has become a difference maker for that defense.
Yeah, what a difference it is having him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's in the pass game too, right? Coverage. He just does a really nice job. He's so lengthy. We've talked about that. He's done a better job in man-to-man. It's still more of a zone coverage guy first and foremost, but you're right about that. I don't want to like go too far with this, but it's almost like this year I think we can kind of put the Milano-Edmonds combo together in a lot of ways that we've done with the Hyde and Poyer thing, which is like, separately, they're both very good, and we know Matt Milano has been amazing. But together, they're just a really, really great combo. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find teams that have a better pair of linebackers when they're both healthy at the same time, when you talk about these two positions, off-ball linebackers. He really made a difference. And Howard, he's the guy I think of when I talk about that energy, that intensity. He was bringing it last night.
Yeah.
I mean, when he came to hit, he was bringing it to the party. And the party came to Tremaine Edmonds because he was physical and he was getting into it. And Tremaine is kind of a like soft-spoken guy. But when he's feeling it and he's on the field, like it ramps up. And when you got this 6'5 middle linebacker getting after it and getting the crowd going, and it makes a difference, I'm telling you, the way that you feel down there.
We'll get connected with our fans going to Madison, Wisconsin. Yogesh, you're on with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure,
you know, I was really surprised to see what the Patriots did last night. You're down 17. You're kicking a field goal. You have three timeouts. You don't use them. It seemed to me like Bill Belichick has just been completely demoralized by the Buffalo Bills, and they had to have this game to stay in the playoff race, and they essentially just gave up. I wasn't
He did. He did. He have essentially, by the way, admitted that. After the game... Do you guys read what his answer is about that? Why he did
The not using the timeouts.
Mac Jones to get injured.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. That's crazy, right? I didn't want anybody to get injured. He's basically telling you the game is over. We have no chance to win.
Yeah, but I'll pick on him for a lot of stuff. Mac Jones in a meaningless final play of the game earlier the season was injured and he missed three games. So I explanation, I thought, oh my God, he tried the onside kick. They didn't get it. And he's not stopping the clock. To me, Sal, honestly, to me, it's the punt. 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're around midfield. They're down 17 points. How many more possessions? And you've got to score on three of them. Are you getting in the game? He punted to the Bills.
What was the fourth down? Fourth and one.
Fourth and six at their 46.
Yeah, they should have gone for it. But you do need three scores either way, and the only way you can do it is by scoring and getting the ball back. So I guess he figured there, let's get the field goal and get the ball back, like as opposed to try and get 6 yards. And then try to score a touchdown and still get the ball back. Either way, he's got to get a field goal or another score. So I agree with you, though. They should have gone for it there. And also what you said about, like, oh, at least he knows who he is. Like, the game is pretty much over.
Yep.
But to the caller's point, which is, that is right. He looked and he told you, like, that's demoralizing.
Yeah.
Right? Just that you, the Amazon sideline reporter, Kaylee, her and I were talking after she interviewed Belichick at halftime. And it was funny because she said, I asked her, I said, what did Belichick tell you? She goes, well, it was the first time I ever spoke with him. And I think he gave me 5 words. I'm like, well, there you go. Welcome to Bill Belichick's world. And she said that he told her his message to his team is just keep competing.
Wow.
And I said, that's the kind of thing you tell your team when you're trying to keep their moral spirits high.
Yeah, that's right. You tell a team with 3 wins this time of year, just keep competing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. I love living in this life. It's wonderful. Let's see. Before we let you go, I got to get an injury report from you because there were a few issues last night. Let's see. Injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash. For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Let's see. Phillips, right? Jordan Phillips, I think, was shaken up on a play. Jeez, I'm trying to remember the whole list here, Sal.
So
Quesenberry left at one point.
Quessenberry left. I think he came back in. It was an ankle. He was questionable. We were all on a little bit of edge here. Tre'Davious White went into the tent.
Yep.
And thankfully, he looked to me like he might have even been limping when he's come off the field, but I don't think so. He might, maybe he was just kind of frustrated what was going on because he had a stinger. That's what it was. He had a stinger.
Yep.
And that's really good news. He was back out of the tent. He went back in the game. So a lot of sigh of relief there after you see Tre'Davious White go into the tent. Jordan Phillips got hurt late, man. He was just hustling.
Yeah.
He's trying to tackle. He lands on his arm after the game. We could see him going down to one of the x-ray rooms or whatever. And I believe they're putting something on they're working on his arm and his shoulder, like as in the locker room as we were leaving. And Reggie Gilliam was with him too.
That's right.
I don't know what happened to Reggie Gilliam.
Yeah. He only
but something happened to Reggie
snaps.
Gilliam.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll keep an eye out on that. Look, you never want to see injuries. I think by and large, knowing they have 11 days off, and, you know, maybe hopefully Deion Dawkins, you know, can get back. I think considering the rash of injuries they've had and then what we went through last night, I'm gonna say I think that they came out pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? Let's hope. Let's hope that's the case. We'll find out more. But 11 days, let's hope Jordan Phillips is okay, Reggie Gilliam's okay, and you get Deion Dawkins back. That should be okay. And Quessenberry as well. But I think he kind of gutted it out and played a little bit on that. So hopefully that's good news.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Enjoy your weekend off.
Wait.
All right, guys. Well,
weekend
enjoy.
Off.
It's actually... What?
Sal,
go ahead.
Sal, you got OBJ watch. Don't take a win. Don't take a weekend off.
Are you
baby.
Camping outside of Allie's house?
It's not only that. So tomorrow is Max's 9th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Max.
So take him to camp out with you outside of Allen's house.
Yeah, we and he so whenever we like go play football in the backyard, he always wants to do the OBJ, like the one-handed catch. And this has been going on even well before the Bills were ever rumored. Like, this has been, like, for a couple of years now. OBJ, OBJ. So if they were to sign him, that would be the best birthday present for this kid, right? Like, he would love OBJ in a Bills uniform. So we have a party for him tonight.
OBJ Christmas.
And then
gift.
We got a little thing going on tomorrow. And, yeah, we'll be watching that for sure. I know that, guys.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it.
Sal's article, his arrow up, arrow down, is available at WGR550.com. Hang on, more of your calls coming up. Lines open if you want to just enjoy the win over the Patriots. Enjoy making fun of the Patriots. Enjoy talking about the Bills and getting a big victory in New England. 803-0550 to join us. It is Football Friday, by the way, which is presented by Topps Markets. Rush to the Topps Red Zone for winning savings and by Svetka, an official sponsor of the Buffalo Bills.
Targets left side, the snap. Jones pressured, walks right into a sack, hauled down by A.J. Epenesa, way back at the 25-yard line. Mac Jones spun away from pressure from one direction. He spun away right into the arms of...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
AJ Epenesa. Josh is in shotgun. Snap. Going to throw it. Off play action. Fires a short one. Great catch. Left side. Caught by Isaiah McKenzie. He goes down at the Patriots 30. Gets up and starts running. He wasn't touchdown. And he gets knocked out of bounds at the New England 27-yard line. Third and 21. Jones pressured again. Gets away from Boogie Basham. Tries to set up the throw. He's dancing around back at the 40-yard line. Now he buys himself some time. Sets up the throw. Fires one down into the end zone, incomplete. Not even close to Devontae Parker. Not even close.
Yeah, Parker was out of bounds. I think it looked like he was standing out of bounds.
There's an end zone angle of that. And the comment I saw was, did Mac Jones just throw it to a guy who's standing 3 yards out of bounds?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
You know, of all the moments last night, I want to read you a quick text from a buddy of mine.
Before you do that, moment of the game brought to you by... As soon as I find it. Highlight of the game brought to you by the Northland Workforce Training Center. We have the training. All we need is you.
Submission for a highlight of the game. My buddy texted me. I could have burst out of my skin when they showed the Patriots in the hunt near the end of the broadcast.
Did they? I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh.
There was the in the hunt picture. And the AFC playoff picture, it might be fully formed. There's probably only one question left, and that's Chargers or Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody else.
Don't think it's going to be the Jets, unless the Chargers keep having guys injured all the time.
I mean, they are, what, at least one game up on the Jets. Jets are 7-4.
Jets are one game up on the Chargers.
That's what I mean, yeah. Jets are one game up on the Chargers.
Yep, Jets are 7-4, Chargers are 6-5.
It's going to be which of those two teams makes it.
Yeah.
And the Jets' schedule's not terrible, and if Mike White can be serviceable for them, it might be the Jets.
The Jets are right now...
You got their schedule, Joe?
I've got their playoff odds. I don't have their schedule in front of me.
I got their schedule. Go ahead.
New York Times playoff machine, without picking anything, they're at 63% to make the playoffs.
Six games left. The four road ones are all challenging. They're at Minnesota Sunday. Not that I think the Vikings are in any great shape, but whatever. They still have to go to Minnesota. They come here. They go to Seattle. They go to Miami. They have two very winnable home games against the Lions and the Jaguars. By the way, Patriots, obviously we can declare them dead in the water, right? 6-6. And still have to play. Their final three games are Bengals, Dolphins, Bills. So we're looking at the Patriots as no better than what? 8-9 at the end of the season?
Yeah.
And missing the playoffs.
The Jets, really, what they need to do is just go .500 the rest of the way. If they go 3-3, and just pick random games, it might depend on which games they are, but yeah. I pick three wins for the Jets and three losses, and their playoff odds are 72%.
So 10-7 gets them in?
Yeah, so as long as they don't really collapse here and they play .500 football the rest of the way, and like that Vikings game is winnable for them, and you know who knows what the Dolphins will be playing for in Week 18. So I would side with the odds here that if they're likelier to make the playoffs than not, then I think I would pick them to make it. The defense is great, and it seems as though they have upgraded a quarterback.
Jeremy, you had, I don't think you brought this up on the air yet, you had numbers for the Bills' playoff chances and division chances, right?
Yeah, playoffs 99. Division odds, according to the New York Times playoff machine, which is a fun one to play with. Joe and I were doing that yesterday with the Chiefs and all the different odds on who gets the one seed. The Bills could be in the one seed driver's seat by the end of the weekend, of course. Mm-hmm. But the Bills are 99% to make the playoffs, and New York Times puts them at 70% to win the division.
Pretty good, considering they don't have the tiebreaker right now.
And 37% on the one seed, which is the second spot behind only Kansas City, who sits at 48%.
Come on, Bengals! I mean, this is the game, right? You look at what's left on Kansas City's schedule, this is the game they have to lose.
And the Bengals, if they win, would be 8-4, so they'd be one behind the Bills.
Yep.
And
a game to play against each other.
Yes, that's right. So you could still cushion your lead against Cincinnati for the one seed spot. But then again, if you do Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, if there's a triangle of each team beat each other, like the Bills beat the Chiefs, Bengals beat
the Bills,
Chiefs beat the Bengals.
You would want.
Go ahead. It could get complicated is all I'm trying to say. Not that complicated. Not like yellow cards separating who goes and who doesn't, but... What becomes the tiebreaker there? It's conference record?
It would be...
If they split the head-to-head amongst the three.
It's conference record.
Right? And then maybe common opponents?
Okay.
I think that's right,
it's that time of the year we got to refresh our memory on tie-breaking procedures.
Just run the table. You should be fine.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Let's... we're getting connected with our fans. We're going to Nick in Buffalo. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to Football Friday.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
First time the offense has looked functional in weeks, and I like that, but it's very, very different. Reminds me a lot.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lot of pick Seattle when Russell Wilson still cared about football and slowing the game down, running and sprinkle a little bit of magic from the quarterback here and there. I'm just wondering if you guys think that's a new formula going forward.
if it's sustainable and if we could beat a real team doing it. And then the other only point I want to make is at the end of that game, Patriots last drive, 19 plays. They get the ball with like 8 minutes left. 19 plays for a net 60 yards and a field goal for like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious how pathetic they are.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring that up.
No, I mean, it's even in garbage time, their offense didn't look good. I mean, it's just 3 yards here, 3 yards there, 4 yards there.
Yeah, a little bit on the formula point. Dorsey did this against the Lions late, maybe a little bit against the Browns, and against New England. The Bills have been getting leads in these games. Mm-hmm. And Minnesota, too. Minnesota, they had a lead. They gave it back against Minnesota. They gave it back against Detroit. And, you know, he caught a lot of heat from Minnesota for passing the ball too much. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't run enough.
I'm thinking he caught a lot of heat from his head coach.
Maybe. And I think you might see a little bit more commitment to running the ball in the second half when they have a lead, when they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, is that a model? Yeah, as long as they keep the lead. What if New England goes and puts a touchdown on the board the way that Dalvin Cook put that touchdown on the board in the Viking game that got him to start throwing again?
Right.
I don't think there's any sort of balance model here. I think we've seen a couple of weeks where it works. When they play Miami in 2 weeks, I mean, there's a clip going around the internet of Mike McDaniel walking down the sideline saying, I think I'm going to pass it every play on this drive.
Yeah.
And I bet that Ken Dorsey is absolutely willing to do that in a game against Miami if it turns into a track meet.
That made me think about, that's what the Bills became,
mm-hmm.
and now the Dolphins are that team.
So I think what Dorsey...
Which is good for McDaniel to do that, by the way.
And you might like it, you might not like it. I'm not going to look at it as any sort of model anymore than it's just, hey, these are opponents that, in order for them to get back in the game, it's tough. Why don't we go ahead and, you know, just put your thumb down on the scale. Just kill the clock a little bit here. Nice, easy, slow. We're going to throw it some. We're going to pass it some. We're going to run it some. You know, we don't have to win this. This game doesn't have to be a track meet. We're fine.
But I think that can be absolutely opponent-specific. Like, you're watching that game last night. You have no fear of New England's offense. If the Bills are up 17-7 against Miami, or maybe even 24-7, I don't think they're running as much as they do. I think they would still try and be more aggressive because you're playing against a Miami team that's got a really explosive offense. I think, I guess I would tell you, Nick, I don't believe what happened in that Minnesota game. I do think the head coach was not happy with the offensive coordinator. They came out with the big lead in the second half. They tried to run the ball.
Even though aside, the offense went all the way down the field.
Move the ball,
and
right.
And Allen threw a pick. And
correct.
The coach could have kicked a field goal if he really wanted to.
I understand that.
The coach even bought into do your thing.
But at the end of the day, they threw a pick and they didn't score and they lose the game. So I think McDermott was angry. I don't think it's become a philosophical shift of, with a lead, we're going to pass less. As I said, I think it depends who you're playing. If you're playing Joe Burrow and the Bengals, I think you could get too conservative. Same thing with Miami. If you're playing New England and Mac Jones, I'm thinking Sean McDermott was not worried about New England scoring 17 points in the fourth quarter or whatever. So, yeah, all right, we're going to run a little bit more. They did it against Detroit. They did it against Cleveland. I believe that's more game-specific. And that it can also be, if the quarterback's still not 100% healthy with his elbow, why do we need him to throw the ball that much? We're up. We're up big. The other team can't score. Let's run the ball and chew some clock. 803-0550 to join us. It is Bills Football Friday. We're going to take more of your calls. And we have some lines open if you want to join us and get your comments in on what stood out to you from last night's win over the New England Patriots. It is Football Friday. I'm WGR.
Josh Allen met Jay-Z after the game. Got a little bit of a handshake or a dab from Jay-Z.
Is that a big deal?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's a pretty big star.
Because I thought I saw, did Josh say he thought Jay-Z didn't know who he was? I think I read a quote.
He might
from
have.
Josh
I mean,
that.
He's wearing a jersey with a 17 and an Allen on the back of it. I feel
or
like.
Or was he wearing Fitzpatrick's jersey at that
That's
point?
That's right.
He wore, how cool is that? He wore Ryan Fitzpatrick Bill's jersey to the podium for the press conference last night.
Should we have gotten Jay-Z as a potential in the stands guest there?
You know, it wasn't impossible, right?
No.
Is he
good, he's a good guest anytime.
Is he a Boston guy? Or?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but Robert Kraft, you know, he's got
friends,
connections in the hip-hop industry.
Hmm.
Like Meek Mill is, like, at his wedding.
Robert Kraft's?
At Robert Kraft's. And, like, has been in the in the owner's suite before. They've showed him. Now Jay-Z, so.
What was that? Something Mill?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a artist, I assume?
Yes.
Thank you. What's your plan for U.S. Netherlands there?
Watching.
Yeah. In the bunker? Nervous?
I got to tell you.
Racked with
Howard, you should come out.
Suspense?
No.
You should come out.
No. The last 10 to 15 minutes of that game against Iran was not pretty.
You were nervous?
Oh, my Lord. I was strung out. I mean, I was like bouncing off the basement walls. I'm looking at the clock. I mean, every 10 seconds, like, let's go.
Are you one of these that's upset about
no,
stoppage
not upset,
time?
No, because I know it's coming.
How stoppage time
cross
works?
My fingers and go, please let it not be a lot. Was it like 9 minutes the other day? Man, that was stressful. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's better when you're with other people. Does that help you handle the stress? Me, I'm the exact opposite. I don't want to be around anybody when stuff like that is going down. I'm way too emotional. Last night was easy, by the way. Last night was a stress-free game.
Yes, it was.
I got more stressed out against the Lions.
Yeah, very.
Than I did last night.
I mean,
last night was like a piece of cake. All right, let's.
You know what I want you to do if you're feeling any stress on Saturday at 10, watching that game against Netherlands? Everybody this weekend, you're stressed, you're sad, you've got any moment this weekend that, you know, you're just not feeling good, I want you to remember that the Patriots postgame show is called the Six Rings postgame show.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they got six rings. The postgame show doesn't have six rings.
No.
They got a podcast I can subscribe to?
It's not actually an accomplishment of the postgame show. The Six Rings postgame. I just want, you know, you're down in the dumps. I'm going to think about it 15 times this weekend. Not even that I'm going to be down in the dumps. It's just going to wash across my brain every few hours, the Six Rings postgame show. That's what they call that thing.
One thing about it, though, is they've got artwork here, right? They've got artwork. They've got it like logged into the system, like in the software somewhere. It comes up as Six Rings postgame. They must be pretty darn confident that a seventh is not coming anytime soon.
Because
a lot of work would have to be done.
I was wondering, is there a statute of limitations where at some point, is there a drought where you can no longer call it the Six Rings postgame?
I mean, the Yankees aren't out here calling the 27 Rings postgame show.
Yeah.
Is this something that other markets have done?
I've not seen it anywhere.
The Two Rings postgame show?
Maybe the Canadians have a 23 cup. How many cups? 23, 24 cups postgame show?
Right. Imagine if the Leafs did that.
Oh, my
or
God.
Just,
they would, well, the Leafs would be, we haven't won a cup since 1967 postgame show. Not that I should be throwing stones in the hockey houses. 803-0550 to join us. All right. We've got an open segment coming up. We've got plenty of time to get into your phone calls. It's obviously, it's Bills Football Friday, but we'll do a quick little update on who's playing who Sunday, who to root for. The two huge games are both late afternoon games. I think we're getting both, too, right? I got to check the 506 map. I think we're getting both games here in the market, right?
They're both the Dolphins-Niners game starts at
4:05, and then Bengals-Chiefs at 4:25, I believe, right? That's a CBS game, and I believe we're going to get on Fox the Dolphins-Niners game.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to watch both of the important late games. Go Bengals, go Niners. Bills Football Friday, 803-0550. Also coming up in the next hour, in addition to your phone calls and all the other fun stuff. Keep listening. We've got another pair of tickets to go see Foreigner. We're going to give those away as well on WGR.
Josh waiting for the snap. Motion Singletary to the right side. Josh gives it to Devin Singletary, cruises into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo. A 1 yard touchdown run by Motor Singletary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.